pretty big deal?
I think I did the same thing. I worked a promotions event. This is the first time I've ever heard or ever seen parents of small children weep tears of joy when the event I was at said they had wine. That was the first time. I was playing with these kids. I was playing cornhole at this promotion event at Lennar Homes. And one of the, I guess, managers at Lennar Homes, one of the real estate agents, came out and she said, "We have red and white wine if y'all want some." They kind of just left their kids with me because I guess I assumed that role. And they just sprinted towards the wine.
Never leave your kids with a stranger, never mind a Mackie.
No, I mean, well, I'm good with kids for the first 5 to 7.5 minutes. And then I get bored.
It depends on the age group.
It depends on the, like, I was teaching their son to play Frisbee, so we got along pretty well. But other than that, it didn't work out. Similar, the way they ran towards that wine was similar to where when you see a rabbit in your yard that's just eating grass, and the moment you make the first sound getting out of your car, the rabbit just shoots up and then just runs away. That's what I saw with the wine. It was good times. K104.7, I had a fun time working the promotions event. Let's talk some hockey. I had my good friend Holland Bostrom. You might be tuning in on Facebook Live on Mackie W. Gallagher. Give me a friend on Facebook. He sent me a pronunciation guide. Because I looked at the roster of the Carolina Hurricanes, and I told him, as a PA announcer, I can't even begin to put together the pronunciations for some of these names. But if I read correctly, they beat the New York Islanders last night.
Correct.
That means they are 5-0 and 0.
For 10 points.
For 10 points.
Leading the Metropolitan Division.
Leading the Metropolitan Division, and that 5-0-0 start is the best start in franchise history for the Carolina Hurricanes.
I didn't know that stat until you told me that last night.
I know. I do my research.
I tend to think I know a thing or two about hockey, though, sometimes.
You try to.
Every now and again. I mean, I'm not...
We all know I'm the hockey guy on the show.
Hey, listen, you're the hockey guru. You want to start us off at hockey? Let's talk some hockey.
No, I'll let you take the lead. I'll come in whenever I feel comfortable. I'll let you do it. Right now, the only notes I have are how to pronounce... I can't even say it. Julien Gauthier, right?
Gauthier, yeah.
And then... Ryan DeZingle.
Hey, Ryan DeZingle. That's one of the notes I have. Big addition in the offseason for Carolina, for real. Kid's coming, and he's already making an impact for the Hurricanes. He's played 4 games. He's got 2 goals, 2 assists. They were able to sign him for, I think, three and a quarter. I think that sounds right. That's what it is. He's 27 years old. He's never really played with good talent. His first 5 years in the league, 5 years in the league, he played for the Ottawa Senators. There's no talent in Ottawa. Ottawa has never been any good. In 2007, they faced the Penguins in the Eastern Conference Final, but they really shouldn't have gotten there. I mean,
I'm not trying to be that guy, but you would think Ottawa, out of all the hockey teams, would be one of the top ones, right?
Why?
Because they're in Canada. I'll say it.
So what do you think? Every team in Canada is just the best
just
team in
saying,
hockey?
I'm just saying, is hockey a huge sport in Canada?
Well, you know, Canadians play hockey in America too, right?
They do. But I'm saying in the National Hockey League, Ottawa should be one of those main teams. I'll let you carry on.
Ottawa's not. And then he went over to Columbus. He was traded actually over to Columbus with Matt Duchene at the end of last season. And he played 21 games for them, only had 12 points. But then again, Columbus didn't really have that core set of talent, and he's coming in this year to a really good Hurricanes team. He's going to fit in real well. He's going to play third line center minutes. You know, he's only going to play 12 to 15 minutes a game. So I think that he's going to be a real good fit so far. I really like the addition of him. I love the addition of Eric Halla as well. Do you know how to pronounce Halla?
Halla? I do not. It's not on the pronunciation guide, so I'll give that a fat no.
What about Svechnikov?
Svechnikov. Andrei Svechnikov.
Okay.
Svechnikov. Oh, I'm thinking about Svechnikov. Is that
Svechnikov?
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Holland, you gave me the wrong pronunciation. Oh, well.
Anyway, we'll go right into Eric Halla. Eric Halla was traded to the Carolina Hurricanes by the Vegas Golden Knights. That's an exchange for Nicholas Waugh and Carolina's fifth-round pick in 2021. Nicholas Waugh is part of the Calder Cup championship team that won the 2017 Calder Cup. First time the Charlotte Checkers had ever won the Calder Cup. They raised the banner last night, too, as well.
They had a great night last night. I said it. I tweeted it. Like I said, I'm not going to pretend I know hockey like that. I've been trying for the last couple of years. I've been trying to watch more regular season hockey, but I definitely try to tune in to some postseason hockey. But you have the Hurricanes, who got off to a great start last season, and we saw how far they went in the playoffs. And then we, you had the Charlotte Checkers down here, and they won the Calder Cup. Is it Calder or Calder?
I say both. I've heard it both too, so I don't. Yeah. I don't think there's a distinction.
Okay. Yeah, and so they won the Calder Cup, and you know, I think North Carolina might be entering the race for a hockey state. You never know.
The minute I came down here, I was so afraid there was going to be no hockey, and then the first restaurant I went to, they were playing the NHL Network. We stopped at Target to get something, and they were playing the NHL Network on the TVs in the entertainment section.
And yeah, like, and Connor, you're from New Jersey, so yeah, you'll know. So Connor's from up north, so he loves hockey.
I was just so afraid, and then all this hockey was here. Hockey is starting to become a southern thing too.
And oh, I agree with that
100%. It's probably the fastest growing sport in America. I think so.
Exactly. When the postseason was on last year, a lot of the apartments I went to up in Boone with my friends, all the restaurants, they have hockey on. If hockey is on, especially if you're at a sports bar at a restaurant, one of the main TVs, one of the 40 TVs they have above the bar and around the restaurant, will have a hockey game. And I've been to like six. I've been to six NHL games and maybe a few less. And I've had a great time every time I go.
Oh, hockey's a great time.
There was one time I remember, it was like 2015, 2016. I went to PNC up in Raleigh and I watched the Hurricanes. They took on the Vancouver Canucks, right? Is that how you pronounce it? The Vancouver Canucks. And they were down 7-1 going to the third period. And the Hurricanes won 8-7 by the end of the game.
That's perfect to transition to actually the Hurricane season this season. I know you didn't mean to do that.
I'm just saying, that's a good, I like it.
To finish with Eric Halla, he's got 3 goals in 4 games. He's a good addition. He's going to play on the top 2 wings, and he's really going to help put in pucks in the back of the net, and he's going to help them get back to the Eastern Conference Final, which is, I think, they'll end up making. But to go into the Hurricanes have come back. Their first 3 victories, they were all down and came back and won the game in overtime, which is crazy, right? You're down 3 straight games by multiple goals.
They've only played 5 games this season, and 3 of them, three of their wins have been in overtime?
Yeah, well, the first 3. In Montreal, they hosted Montreal on Thursday the 3rd. They were losing 3-1 in that game, came back, won the shootout. Montreal's no joke this year, first off. Second off, Saturday, they visited the Washington Capitals, who they defeated in the first round. They also defeated them on Saturday. Carolina was down 2-1, ended up winning 3-2 in overtime. And Washington is no joke. Washington won the Metropolitan Division last year. They won the Stanley Cup the year before that. You know, they still have Holtby. They still have Ovechkin. You know, that core group of guys, you know, TJ Oshie, John Carlson, they're all there. And Carolina was still able to come back. And that just shows the resilience that this team has this year.
What do you think makes the Hurricanes? Because I feel like it has been a change coming to Raleigh. I feel like it's been a change coming to the franchise. You know, they won the Stanley Cup a while back. 13 years ago now. But they've always been scratching and clawing their way to get back. And now last year they had a great run. They won in 7 games against the Capitals in the first round. What makes them so good this year? Is it the players? Is it the coaching? Is it the atmosphere, the market? What is it?
It's everything.
Everything's just working for the Hurricanes?
Everything took a giant turn in December 31st of last year is when the Hurricanes started to turn everything around.
And I was about to ask, because wasn't the Hurricanes, and I'm genuinely asking, because like I said, I'm trying to not be so ignorant with the sport of hockey, weren't the Hurricanes one of the worst teams in NHL in December of last year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Going and then that's in when early just, December. Late December, right before New Year's, they flipped a switch. Them and St. Louis both flipped a switch.
Yeah, St. Louis was the same way. They were second to last in their division or something like that.
They were in last place in the league.
And then
ended up winning the Stanley Cup.
What were the Hurricanes standing going into December?
They were dead last in the Metro.
Okay, gotcha.
But they were able to come up. But they have a really good coach in Brind'Amour. And then they have really, really good talent. You know, you're looking at players, you're looking at players like Jordan Staal. You're looking at players like Sebastian Aho, Nino Niederreiter, Andrei Savankachev, Eric Hall, who we're talking about, Martin Natchez, who is also a Calder Cup winner, and then Teemu Teravainen as well. So you have a lot of these really good young guys, you know, Jake Gardner, Jacob Slavin, and Dougie Hamilton. You have all these good, young, talented players who want to win, and they've been together for a couple of years now. So the core is there, the chemistry is there, and everything is just clicking for the Hurricanes, and it is beautiful to see. They're starting to sell seats. When they sell seats, the place gets real loud. It gets red.
It gets so loud.
It becomes
in
a
there.
Sea of red. It is awesome to watch. You know, going to game one, home game one of the Bruins series and home game one of the Capitals series, just to watch what it was like inside that building was insane.
PNC Arena is a great place.
And the players, after the game, the players even said that they feed off of it. You know, these players are feeding off of it. These fans are helping this team achieve the goal to get back to the playoffs. This team can win a Stanley Cup. You know, I feel like this team, I don't know if they'll win the Metropolitan Division this year, but they'll certainly play second if they don't come in first. And I think this team is going to absolutely get back to the Eastern Conference Final. I have so much faith in this team. They acquired James Reimer on June 30th when they traded Scott Darling, who didn't even play he didn't play much for Carolina. He was so bad in Raleigh that they sent him down to Charlotte, and he didn't even play in Charlotte because Charlotte's too busy playing Alex Nedeljkovic, who's going to be the next big thing in Carolina, in Raleigh. So it's just a whole sea of goodness. I'm so excited. I really am.
I like it.
It's just a whole sea of goodness coming for this Carolina Hurricanes team. And they're going to be good, and they will be back to the Eastern Conference Final. Mark my words.
Mark your words. I'm recording this right now, so a lot of people are going to be angry with you, Connor, if you get this wrong. I was going to say, when I went to the Hurricanes games a couple times, it caught me so off guard, going back to the fans and feeding off the energy. When they sing the national anthem and the word red comes up, everybody just screams red. I'm not going to lie. That scared the bleep out of me. But I want to talk about Martinook, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Jordan Martinook.
Yeah, he's having a second surgery. He's out 6 to 8 weeks. How can this impact the Hurricanes?
Oh, God, that's a deep question.
That is.
No, Jordan Martinook's a really good player. He missed some of the playoffs last year with an injury, especially in the Capitals series where they really could have used him. I think that they will be okay without him. I mean, I don't think for the whole season. They're definitely going to need him once they get back into once the playoff race gets closer, I should say. But he's a real good player, and he's playing on that first left wing, on that second left wing he can play. You know, you see him everywhere. Love this man because we have the same birthday, just saying if you guys didn't know. But he's played 333 career games, 91 points. I mean, the guy gets his playing time, and he's delivering the big hits when they need to be. And he has that physical aspect like every team needs. So this guy can do a little bit of everything for this Hurricanes team, and they're really going to rely on him later down the road.
And I see that, like I said, if you're just joining us, this is the Rookies on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte, 94.7 FM in Charlotte, or you can catch us on 1660 AM, 103.7 on your HD3 dial, and we're also online at foxsportsradiocharlotte.com and the Fox Sports Radio Charlotte mobile app. There's no way you can't listen to us. Don't make up an excuse. Download the app. It's available for both Android and iPhone devices. So if you're just joining us, you know I am ignorant when it comes to the sport of hockey. I'm trying to learn it. I have a great time every single time I go to a hockey game. And I saw some stats so far. This is not updated after the win over the Islanders last night. But some season stats. I want you to tell me how good these stats are in terms of just hockey. Because I know, like, team stats that are good in the NBA. I know team stats that are good in the NFL. Like, if they're averaging 112 rushing yards a game, that's a pretty good stat. Or on defense or something like that. So I don't know what this means.
Before we go into that, can we just thank everybody? You just read the call letters, but can we thank everybody who took the time to look at our photo shoot?
Yes.
That photo shoot's it's got over 2,000 views.
It has over 2,000 views?
Yeah.
I am so sorry to the people that saw that photo shoot.
Everybody that saw that, thanks for looking at that. We're a bunch of nutcases. Y'all know that. We know that. And that got a lot more views than any of our articles, so we're just doing straight photo shoots for now on.
We really have over 2,000 views on our photo shoot?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I was Ricky Bobby the whole time. I didn't know what to do with my hands.
Well, and my Rick and Morty shirt made it.
True. I had my little Hawaiian shirt. It was nice. We were dappered up, if that's a verb or an adjective. Who knows? So, with the Hurricanes, they are shooting. They have 38 shots a game. Is that a stat worth knowing?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
You got to take shots to score goals.
But is that a good amount? Like, what's the average amount in the NHL? You're talking to me, and you're also talking to somebody who keeps up with the Canes, but they don't know much about hockey like me. Or they just think I'm the idiot, and I'm fine with that, because a lot of people already think that.
I mean, anywhere from 25 to 30 shots, I think, is good for a game. Anything over 30, you're really getting pucks to the net, and it's really going to increase your chances in scoring goals. So you'll see that teams who score more goals take more shots. I mean, clearly there's the correlation there.
And before last night, they were tied for sixth in this category in the NHL so far this season. They have a 33% power play percentage. Does that mean that they're converting on the power play 33% of the time?
That's great.
Okay,
yeah.
Then never mind. That's a great stat.
So,
they're tied for sixth right now in the league.
Yeah, no, anytime you can get a goal on the advantage, you know, you're helping the team once it goes 5-on-5. You're giving some cushion, you know, helping the goalie out as well. So you're making everything a little bit easier. Scoring man up really, and it's not easy to do. You know, as you are a man up, but it's really not easy to do, especially with how athletic that these goalies are nowadays. Did you even see Carter Hart the other day, Rob Taylor Hall?
I did not.
Okay, well, it was a feed from, I think, Kyle Palmieri. But Taylor Hall was sitting on the right side of the slot, so he would have been on the right side of your screen.
Okay.
And he was wide open. Then he had a blank net. Goalie wasn't even in there. Takes the one-timer, and Carter Hart still got over and made the glove save. And it was ridiculous. I'll have to show it to you when we go to break.
Yes, please do. I'm very happy that you dumbed it down for me. When you said he was in the right slot, you said right side of your screen. I said perfect. That's all. And the last one I saw, they're 15th in the league before last night. This could be changed after the Islander win. You might have to help me understand this stat a little bit. It seems pretty self-explanatory. They have an 80% penalty kill percentage. So is it just they convert on 80% of their penalty shots? Is that what that means?
No. Okay. So your power play is when you convert with the man up.
Mm-hmm.
Your penalty kill is killing the power play. So you're man down. So 80% of the time that the Hurricanes take a penalty, the opposing team doesn't score. So only 20% of the time when they're man down, the opposing team scores, which is really good.
That's really good. And last thing, we have about one more minute till we have to go to break. Last thing, I want to talk about the head coach. Don't know how to pronounce his name either.
Brad Brindamore.
Yeah, I've heard tremendous things about him, and I heard that he probably lifts more than any of his players in the weight room. Did you read that article?
He's a big dude. No, he
looks like
that,
a big dude.
But when he takes the podium after a game, he is a big dude. But he was the captain of the Carolina Hurricanes 2006 when they won the Stanley Cup.
Really?
Yep.
I did not know that.
On that team was Justin Williams, who stepped away from hockey this season. But
and he's known as NHL's Mr. October, isn't he? Or not October, just the playoff guru in hockey, right? Justin Williams, doesn't he have like some of the most goals in playoff history in the NHL?
Clutch goals.
Okay,
he scores a ton of overtime goals.
Justin Williams.
That's what it is.
I was thinking Mr. October translating from baseball to hockey didn't work.
You had me confuzzled there for a second.
No, yeah, I saw the look in your head.
I was like, what?
And you were just like, please, I have no idea what you're saying. But this is the Rookies. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
All right, everybody, welcome back. You are listening to the Rookies. We have an absent Brian today. Brian, we miss you, buddy. I miss you, buddy. Mackie, do you miss Brian?
I do miss Brian. I miss him a lot.
I miss Brian. Brian's my buddy. All right. Anyway, you are listening to Fox Sports Radio Charlotte, 94.7 FM, 1660 AM, FoxSportsRadioCharlotte.com, and download the Fox Sports Radio Charlotte app. As Mackie just told you all before, there is no reason not to listen to us. What did we ever do to you that you don't want to listen to us?
Well, there is a reason. They just would not want to listen to us.
Because we're us, yeah. I mean, I understand that. We don't know a darn thing about sports, so we're sitting here, but let's hop right into baseball. we'll go to the division series before we go right into the championship series. Was there a specific series that you wanted to talk about first? Is there a specific series that you want to start off with? I mean, we don't have to talk about all of them in depth.
All I'm going to say, Connor, let me have my moment now. You had your hockey moment. This is mine.
I'm ready. Serenade me because I know what you're about to tell me.
I am a Nationals fan.
Love it.
I am not going to be bragging about it a lot like I do with the Panthers and with the Hornets because I don't watch every game. I watch a lot of the games that are on that we play the Braves because that means it's on Fox Sports South. And then I watch a lot of the Monday night, like the ESPN games. And I became a Nationals fan the summer after my high school when I went up to D.C. I'm a huge history nerd. My uncle took me up to D.C., went to all the Smithsonians, all these museums. It was a great trip. And we went to the Nationals to where they beat the Braves in Navy Yard Ballpark off a walk-off home run in the 13th inning by Bryce Harper. So I immediately fell in love with Washington. And then through college, I'm pretty sure Washington was in the playoffs every year, the wild card game or the NLDS, and they could not get past the Dodgers. There was twice in my college career that the Dodgers would just ruin my hopes and dreams of having a third team that can possibly win a championship. The Panthers had it in 2015, didn't do it. The Hornets had a chance in 2015 as well, and they got out in seven games against the Miami Heat, losing every game by 30. I was mad. But now, Clayton Kershaw gives up back-to-back home runs in the fifth game of the NLDS, and then Howie Kendrick hits a grand slam in the top of the 10th inning.
Sorry, Joe Kelly.
Let's go. I was happy. And now, finally, the Nationals are in the NLCS for the first time since 1982. The Nationals weren't even invented the last time this franchise was in the NLCS. They were part of the Expos, right?
Montreal Expos. Do you want to know what it would have taken? Like, and this is my rookie mistake, so I don't know if we want to jump ahead and do it.
Go ahead and say it, then you can say it later. I double use rookie mistakes all the time.
Putting Clayton Kershaw in a clutch moment in the MLB postseason. Dave, what are you doing? What is he doing? I need to know for real. You know Clayton Kershaw is historically bad, right? You've been in the postseason for the last 7 years. You've won your division for the last 7 years. You've been to the World Series the previous two. You lost to Houston, then you lost to Boston. What have you found out, Dodger fans? What have you found out, coach? Clayton Kershaw is historically bad in the postseason. Why do you put him in?
They had the second most wins in the MLB, right?
Yeah.
Astros had 107. Now the Dodgers have 106. And they're not even in the NLCS. I wanted to scream. I wanted to scream when that ball left Howie Kendrick's bat and just soared into center field. I was just like, no way. This is not happening. This is not happening.
But it was.
The Nationals aren't supposed to be here. They had the worst ERA in the MLB for a playoff team. And yet they are one series away from the World Series.
But they got a ton of help out of Anibal Sanchez. I don't think anybody thought he would pitch in the postseason like that. And then they got Patrick Corbin got destroyed. So we're not even going to bring that into the conversation. But along with Steven Strasburg and Max Scherzer, some really, really good outings from those boys that it really helped put the Nationals past the Dodgers because, you know, the Nationals could bat. And they got speed. They can play small ball. You know, the Nationals can attack from every aspect. And now that they don't have Bryce Harper, I guess they wanted to advance.
Well, that's normally what it's like. I'm sure Bryce isn't happy. He signed, what, $13 million, 300 million contract? Something like that. It was just some absurd amount. A lot of numbers that are outside of my vocabulary. But he went to Philadelphia, which is a division rival from the Nationals. And, of course, the Phillies didn't make the playoffs. But I think once you lose a star like that, two things can happen. You can either just go way downhill or just you spread the talent around. It's not so that you don't have that player that is just so polarizing on your team.
Exactly.
And so now you have a lot of stars or a lot of big names in baseball that are on the Nationals. You have Trey Turner, which is a young up-and-comer from NC State. You have Juan Soto, who is a beast for his age.
A kid's got ice in his veins.
Exactly. You have Anthony Rendon, who's been picking it up over the years. Ryan Zimmerman, who's just Mr. National.
Rendon's playing for a contract this year as well.
So, exactly.
And, he
batted like 400 with like three home runs in the last series.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. He's up and running for the NL MVP. I mean, this guy has been really, really good this season.
Now, how are some of the American League how was the American League Division Series? I didn't really watch much of those. I saw that the Yankees kind of
won in three games.
Twins. Yeah,
didn't really mean much. Houston outed Tampa Bay in five. You knew that Houston had a better team first off, but anyway, they only won. I think it was 5-1 in Game Five. It was either 5-1 or 6-2. But anyway, Tyler Glasnow was supposedly tipping pitches to the opposing team. So that's when he inadvertently gives a sign of what he's about to throw. And the Astros have picked up on that. And other players in the league have picked up on that. Trevor Plouffe, former Minnesota Twin, even tweeted that this preseason that he saw it. And it only took him an inning to understand what Glasnow was going
to
throw.
How, as a team, do you not tell him to stop? Like, how is it? How, if he's tipping, because if it's been an issue since the preseason, then he must have done it all throughout the season, right?
Right.
And in the postseason, and that
I would imagine
that's a costly mistake if someone picks up on it, like they said in the first inning.
Well, and that's why they scored those four runs in the first inning. And that's what really put them ahead, because Tyler Glasnow is a really good pitcher, and it really could have been a tighter game than that. And it really should have been a tighter game than that.
That's great. And we know that we have a lot of Braves fans here, because Atlanta is just a five-hour drive down the road. But Braves fans, I apologize.
I don't get it. You're playing Game 5 at home.
It was just one of those games.
One of those
games. It's just
St. Louis was able to put up 10 in the first inning. They tacked on two more or three more. And they ended up winning 13-1, but what are you doing? All the pitches were flat. They could have. I have no explanation for this.
That's why it's one of those things to where the Braves had a great season. I think the Braves are helping revitalize baseball in the South as well. They have a young squad. They have a
really talented young squad.
I mean. They have Acuña, which is one of those young guys in the MLB who he might be the next superstar in this league if he keeps it up.
He already is.
That's what I mean. But he's only 21. Imagine how far he can go. Granted, hopefully he stays healthy. But the Braves just had a horrible end to a great season. And it's one of those things to where you can't let that win define who the Braves were this season. But it's just like, out of all things to happen and when to happen in the season, that's just one thing you can't allow to happen. That didn't make any sense. But it's just, you can't allow to not be on your best game like that in Game 5 of the NLDS to make it to the NLCS. Like, you can't. Yes, you can have some mistakes maybe in games one or two. You can have some mistakes in the first two innings, but you can't have a giving up 10 runs in the first inning mistake. Granted, the Cardinals are pretty good offensively.
The Cardinals are a great team.
But
Cardinals are a really good team.
But like I said, I feel like it was just one of those games to where, from the moment they stepped on that mound, from the moment the Braves and Cardinals touched the field, it was destiny for the Cardinals to win. Just everything that could have gone wrong for the Braves just went wrong.
So to round up the division series, both American League teams that I picked to win won. Both National League teams that I picked to win lost.
Really?
Well, I honestly, truly do think that I thought it was going to be a Yankees-Dodgers World Series. That's really what I thought it was. The Dodgers were the best team in the West, or in the National League.
That's funny.
I didn't even think it was close either. The Dodgers were by far the best team in the National League.
Man, the Dodgers. I love watching. I have a lot of friends who are in the baseball. They're like, I can't believe you're a Nationals fan, but I'm always down to watch the Dodgers lose. Are the Dodgers kind of like the Warriors in basketball? Not in terms of skill, but just in terms of, if you're not a fan of them, you just want them to lose all the time. Is that what it's like in the baseball fan bases?
No, I don't hate the Dodgers. They've never done nothing wrong to me. But I feel like that's how everybody feels about Yankee fans.
Facts, and you are a Yankee fan. So.
It's us against the world.
I feel that. So we're going to go from the division series, because now it's the AL and NLCS. In the American League, you have the Houston Astros and the New York Yankees. This is a rematch of the 2017 ALCS. And then you have the NLCS with the Nationals.
Which started last night.
Which started last night with the Nationals and Cardinals. Nationals already a game up on the Birds. What did
How
you
about
see?
Because Edible Sanchez threw a no-hitter through 7 2/3. Almost 8 full innings of no-hit baseball in the playoffs. This man has been extraordinary.
And that was one of the concerns coming into this game was how is Anibal Sanchez going to do this? Because you have Steven Strasburg and Max Scherzer who's going to have to rest up because they played throughout the end of the NLDS. So they're saying how can the pitchers like Sanchez, like Patrick Corbin come in? Because Corbin didn't, like you said, I believe it was game three, did not have a good outing at all for the Nationals. But he's going to have to pitch in this 7-game series against the Cardinals. I believe this series will go 7 games. Anibal Sanchez, he definitely gave the Nationals some breathing room because you got a huge win to start the series. You got a huge win in the NLCS, and you got a huge win without any of your two aces. It's great. If you're a Nationals fan, it is great. And that's what I think that Nationals fans were very happy going into the end of the NLDS when they're going to go to Game 5 because they knew that they had Scherzer and Strasburg there. They were rested up, they were healthy, and they were ready to pitch. And I think if you have Scherzer and Steven Strasburg, even though Strasburg has battled injury throughout his career, if you have them in your back pocket, you have to be somewhat comfortable as a Nationals fan. You have to be. These are two great pitchers in the Major League Baseball.
They got to do a little bit of a better job piecing their hits together. I mean, they had 10 hits last night and only scored 2 runs. I mean, small ball wins games. You got to piece them together a little bit. I mean, but then again, you play 9 innings. You could have a hit every inning. You know what I'm saying?
What in this series, in the NLCS, who are some players to watch?
For the Nationals. So I really like Paul Goldschmidt. He was acquired from the Diamondbacks, and he's making a big impact. A pitcher that I like to watch is John Flaherty. I don't know if you watched him last night. He also actually hugged his mother. Did you hear the story about him being adopted at 3 weeks old?
I did.
And the picture of him hugging his mother.
And they
Facebook.
Said that like he was thinking about quitting. I read that article.
That was heartwarming. That was actually really heartwarming. But over on the national side, Trey Turner. Definitely watch Trey Turner. The kid is real fast on the bases, can hit for average, can put the ball out of the park as well. Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg are going to be your two big guns for the Nationals. I really like Anthony Rendon this postseason. Ryan Zimmerman is looking for a World Series attempt as well. He's actually the only player that was drafted. He was the first drafted player by the Washington Nationals, and he's still playing with the team. That's kind of cool, isn't it? Interesting fact.
No, it's very cool. Ryan Zimmerman, he's Mr. National. Anthony Rendon, I'm really looking forward to watching. Juan Soto as well. Soto is the sixth 20-year-old since 1900 to post a .400 on-base percentage and first since Alex Rodriguez in 1996. Juan Soto has been huge at the plate this season for the Nationals. I think if the Nationals can get Trey Turner and Adam Eaton on base and force the Cardinals to pitch to Anthony Rendon and Juan Soto,
especially
it's
with
dangerous.
The speed on the bases,
exactly. Trey Turner is one of the fastest guys in the MLB. He is.
He's one of the fastest guys in baseball. Yeah, and just a couple more players to look out for: Matt Carpenter, third baseman for the Cardinals; Yadier Molina, who has played the most MLB postseason games as a catcher; and Marcell Ozuna as well. I would look out for these players too.
And real quick before we move on to the ALCS, something to watch. Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg allowed only 5 runs in 20 innings and struck out 27 batters. Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg are not, in my opinion, knock on wood, are not the pitchers that will roll over in the postseason and choke the way Clayton Kershaw did. Let's move on to the ALCS, New York Yankees, Houston Astros. This is pretty much what a lot of people predicted.
I was messed up, dude.
You were messed up.
No, that was messed up.
What, the choking?
Oh, yeah. Take a shot at my buddy, all right?
Is Clayton Kershaw your buddy? You have dinner every week with him?
Oh, yeah. Good friends.
Well, let's move on to my buddies at the Houston Astros. Yeah, I said it. I know you're a Yankee fan. What are you, as a Yankee fan, are you nervous at all?
Where is Charlie? We need to get Charlie. You know Charlie, he does Taking Dead Aim?
Yes, he does a
Charlie
show right
Nance.
After this.
Yeah. He's born and raised in Houston, so he is a diehard Astros fan, and he is so much fun to talk about baseball with. We should have called him. I should have brought him in. I don't know what I'm doing, but anyway, here we are. Tonight, it's going to be Masahiro Tanaka versus Zach Greinke. the Tampa Bay Rays absolutely got a hold of Zach Greinke the last time he was out. Masahiro Tanaka has pitched great in the playoffs this year and in the prior years, so it's going to be an interesting game. What it's going to take for the Yankees to beat the Astros is to get to the bullpen. They're going to need to get the starting pitching out of the game. It's arguably, and I think, the best rotation in baseball. One of the best rotations I have ever seen. You have two guys running for the Cy Young in the same rotation. 2 and 3. Verlander and Cole. Or 1 and 2, really. Verlander and Cole are both running for the Cy Young. These guys are absolutely insane, and it really is important for the Yankees to get these starting pitchers out of the game. You know, take the first pitches if you have to, attack early, strike when you can, and for the Yankees, they're just going to need to get some quality innings out of their starters. 4 or 5 innings tops is what they need.
And I know that Aaron Boone, the manager for the Yankees, he was criticizing the ALDS last year for leaving his starting pitchers in a batter or two too long than he should have. You know, and that's one thing you just alluded to. You said you got to get to the bullpen. We saw in the ALDS this year that, you know, after if he saw a pitcher getting rattled, maybe after 4 innings, he took him out. Is this something you're thinking that they're going to be going to the bullpen a lot? Because, I mean, the Yankees bullpen, they have allowed 3 runs in 13 and one-third innings.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're a great bullpen.
The Yankees easily have the best bullpen left of the 4 teams remaining.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the playoffs, they have the best bullpen. You know, that's starred by Aroldis Chapman, Zach Britton, Adam Ottavino, you know, Chad Green's helping out. You're looking at possibly getting CeCe Sabathia in the bullpen for this series as well. So it's really important for the Yankees to get 4 to 5 quality innings out of their starters. Only 6 batters in the Houston lineup have ever hit against Masahiro Tanaka. Altuve's had 6 at-bats. He's got 2 base hits. Alex Bregman's 0 for 5 in his career against Tanaka. Carlos Correa's got 1 hit and 6 at-bats. Yoli Gurriel's got 2 hits and 5. And then Josh Reddick hasn't had a hit. And then George Springer is 1 for 5 against Masahiro Tanaka. Now, none of the batters in New York have ever faced Zach Greinke in the postseason, but we're talking about DJ LeMahieu, who hit over 300 this season. We're talking about Aaron Judge, Didi Gregorius, Edwin Encarnacion. This team is going to smack the ball out of the park, and it's going to be extremely important for the Yankees to get to that bullpen.
Well, you said that they're going to smack the ball out of the park. They have Gerrit Cole, Justin Verlander, and Zach Greinke. So we will see. This is the Rookies, Fox Sports Radio Charlotte, 94.7 FM, 1660 AM. Download the Fox Sports Radio Charlotte app or check us out at foxsportsradiocharlotte.com. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this.
All right, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to the Rookies on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. Mackie bringing us in. What up, Mackie?
What's up? I apologize to the listeners. I can't figure out how to make this music quieter. I cannot do it for the life of me. So that was an abrupt stoppage because you were not going to be able to hear us at all. I have everything turned down on the board, but it's still not working. My first time hosting. Cut me some slack. But before we get into Carolina Panthers, real quick, it's going to be real quick. We're just going to give our predictions for the AL and NLCS and who's going to the World Series.
I got the Yankees winning in 7 games. The Yankees bats to me are just ridiculous. So I think that the Yankees are going to have what it takes to pull it out this year. I know they didn't in 2017, but it's a different team. They have a healthy Aaron Judge. They have a healthy Giancarlo Stanton, a healthy Gary Sanchez, you know, a healthy Gleyber Torres and Didi Gregorius. This is very important for that team. I think that they can edge out Gerrit Cole, Justin Verlander, and Zach Greinke in 7 games. I also think that the Nationals can beat the Cardinals in 7 games. I love Steven Strasburg, love Max Scherzer, and Anibal Sanchez has been a complete animal.
I think after winning the first game last night, Nationals take the Cardinals in 6. And I think the Houston Astros will actually defeat the Yankees. I think better pitching will get the best of the better bats here in the ALCS. But we will see, and we will probably argue about it later on. But now, let's move in to Carolina Panther talk. We normally talk the Carolina Panthers every Sunday. Sunday is kind of dedicated to what happened the night before in sports, which is Saturday night, and then the NFL and the Carolina Panthers. As most of you already know, the Carolina Panthers will be taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a must-win division game in London, England tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. So that will actually be going on during our show. So we'd figure we'd do a Panther preview today with Connor and I. Thank you for tuning in once again to Fox Sports Radio Charlotte, 94.7 FM, 1660 a.m. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fox Sports CLT. Let's get into it. Panthers versus Jaguars was a great game as I expected it to be. Gardner Minshew came in, threw all over the Panthers, even though the Panthers were able to force three fumbles, which were all three of the Jaguars' turnovers, and were able to score off of two of them, one of them being a 56-yard fumble recovery for the rookie Brian Burns. Now they are coming into week six. They are on a three-game winning streak without Cam Newton. Kyle Allen is under center. They lost to Tampa Bay in week two on Thursday night, in front of national television. I got a cold because there was a weather delay. I was at the game. It got a little chilly, and I had the sniffles for a week. And because of that, I had to deal with the loss. I got the sniffles, and we lost.
Did a grown man just say the word sniffles on the radio?
I'm 22. Cut
me
some slack.
Holy moly.
No, yeah, you never had the sniffles?
I've had the sniffles. I just don't call them the sniffles.
Oh man, I'm securing my masculinity. I say sniffles, and I wouldn't be. I would be fine with the sniffles if we got the win. But right now, Tampa Bay has a tiebreaker. They beat us. They did it fair and square. Now they going to London. What do you think will happen in this game? Do you think Tampa Bay will play the same way and shut down Christian McCaffrey the way they did in week two? Because Christian McCaffrey, that's the only time he hasn't reached 100 yards from scrimmage this season, was in week two against Tampa Bay.
Well, Tampa Bay's defense was so good that Thursday night game. But you have to remember that Cam Newton was the quarterback for that game in week two. So I really think that with Kyle Allen coming in as the quarterback for week six in London, I think that the Panthers will be able to pull it off. I think that Christian McCaffrey will have a little bit more space because the Panthers are going to be able to throw the ball now that Kyle Allen is in. You know, Cam Newton wasn't extremely accurate. We saw how Cam Newton played the first couple of games of the season. So I really think that it's important that they have another quarterback in. I think that it's going to give a little bit more time for that offense to run. I think McCaffrey's going to do quite all right.
And McCaffrey right now is leading the league in rushing. He has 866 rushing yards. That is more than Todd Gurley and Ezekiel Elliott combined.
I think this kid's the MVP.
I think he is right now. There's an article on FoxSportsRadioCharlotte.com, CMC for MVP, ? Check it out. It's a good article breaking down CMC's play this year. Kyle Allen, I saw a nickname for him on Twitter. You know what the nickname was?
Play 60 kid.
Professor Fumbledore. That's what they call him. Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, he's had
that
seven
fumbles.
Everything I say is terrible, Connor. He's had seven fumbles in three games. Seven.
Yeah, he's got a real hard time.
He had two last week, and I am getting fed up with people saying it's not that big of a deal.
It's a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
Ball possession wins games.
I love the way Kyle Allen is playing. He is playing great. Keep him in if he's winning. Keep him in. But Kyle Allen, luckily, the fumbles haven't turned into anything because the Panthers' defense this year has been on. They have been locking down opposing offenses. And the two fumbles against the Jaguars, luckily, the Panthers were able to fall on both of them. They didn't fall on all the fumbles in the Houston Texans, and the Panthers were able to shut them down. The Panthers forced three fumbles against the Jaguars. We recovered all of them, scoring on two of them, and we still barely won by a touchdown. Imagine if Kyle Allen fumbles twice or three times, and the Panthers don't recover any of them. There's no way you turn the ball over three times to none if you don't force any turnovers and you still win the game. I mean, there is a way, but it's highly unlikely. And people are just kind of pushing it under the rug. They're just saying, would you rather him throw an interception? Of course not.
No.
But at any time I see a defender running behind Kyle Allen, I'm afraid that the ball's going to fall out. And all it takes for it to be a problem is the Panthers stop recovering them. That's all it takes. And the Panthers are pushing their luck if it keeps happening. They're pushing their luck. They've had three games where fumbling was an issue, and luckily it hasn't bitten them in the butt. But Kyle Allen, he's playing great. Came in week three. Did fabulous against the Arizona Cardinals. People are like, oh, it's just the Cardinals. But he's 2-0 as a starter for the Panthers. Oh, but it was just the backup Saints. It was just the Cardinals. But now he plays the Houston Texans, who are probably going to win the AFC South, or I thought so, but Jacoby Brissett and the Indianapolis Colts are coming up like, hey, don't forget about us without Andrew Luck. And so now Kyle Allen beats the Texans. It's like, all right, cool. Two-game win streak. Then he comes in. Minshew Mania comes into Charlotte. They beat the Jaguars. Three straight. Now you're taking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who the Panthers should win every year. They should. That is the one divisional game or the divisional rival to where the Panthers should sweep them 2-0 every year. But we already lost that dream this year in week two. So he's coming in. He became the first QB in Super Bowl era to go 4-0 without an interception in his first four games. Cool. Is he the first quarterback in the Super Bowl era to go 4-0 with seven fumbles in his first three starts of a season? I don't know. But to me, this is an issue, and it's bothering me. Because nobody's realizing how big of an issue this is. They're not. I don't know what to do. Because if Kyle Allen fumbles, I hope he just gets it under control. He has to. Kyle Allen has to. I love him as a backup. He's doing exactly what a backup is supposed to do. Come in and win games when your starter's out. He's a capable backup. And what his future is with the Carolina Panthers, but if he keeps playing the way he is, another NFL team may pick him up to start him. A lot of NFL teams need quarterbacks. Right now, DJ Moore is having a good season. He had that first fumble on the first possession against the Rams, and ever since then, he's been able to hold on to the ball. Six receptions, 91 yards last week against the Jaguars. DJ Moore, he is great. I really love DJ Moore. I love the pick when we picked him up. Steve Smith said the Panthers have never been able to replace him until they drafted DJ Moore. And DJ Moore, I like him because he doesn't have many touchdowns. I believe he has one this year. He had a few last year. But his thing is yards after catch. He had a 50-yard bomb from Kyle Allen thrown to him against the Jaguars. Caught it on the Jags 35. Was able to stiff-arm the defender that was guarding him. He had to go up to catch this ball and ended up being brought down at the 23.
Strong kid.
Yes, he got 13 yards right after the right after the catch. It was DJ Moore. Yards after catch is definitely his thing. Curtis Samuel's doing good. Luke Kuechly became the fastest player to achieve 1,000 tackles in his career. This defense is just raw. There's no other word to put it. The defense of the Carolina Panthers is just raw.
So, do you have any worries? I have some of the injury report pulled up right now.
Yeah, because we have been struggling with injuries recently. Who's out right now?
Eric Reed is questionable with his ankle.
He was last week.
Shaq Thompson, questionable ankle. And tight end Chris Mannert, has a concussion, but he is also listed as questionable.
Okay, he was out last week.
But Christian Miller has been ruled out.
Oh, man. He's been having a good year so far.
Yeah, Greg Little's still ruled out.
Yeah, he's in concussion. He had a concussion in the preseason. Then he's back in protocol. He was in protocol last week, too. But the Dennis Daly from USC filled in for him. He's a fellow rookie from the University of South Carolina, and he had a great game, too. So, Dennis Daly, congrats to him.
Yep, that's what they got up here now. So, what do you got, bold prediction for the game? What's it really going to take down nitty-gritty for Carolina to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after the Bucs have already come into our house, Carolina's house, and beat them on a Thursday night?
It's tough to say. You have to keep in mind that they held McCaffrey under 100 scrimmage yards. They're the only team to do so this year.
Yeah, but do you think that because they have another quarterback, it's going to give McCaffrey more room to run?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think this might be a game to where we see Kyle Allen really showcase his arm. Can he do it? Can he not? He had that great game against the Cardinals, and then he just played like a game manager the last two games after that. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. As a backup, you want to be a game manager. You're just trying to set your team up to score. But they shut down the run game. They have Bucks have one of the best run games in the league, averaging 3.2 yards a carry. That is the best, I believe, throughout the season so far. If they shut down the run game, who the Panthers had one of the best career rushing days in franchise history last week, you're going to force the backup, Kyle Allen, in London to put the game in his hands to throw it. What do you think? This could be very interesting. How do you think that affects the players?
They
get there a week early. Hopefully, they're already back on the right times and all that stuff. Their body is adjusted to the time change. But this could be a huge game for Kyle Allen. Kyle Allen is who I'm looking at. Christian McCaffrey, if the ball's in his hands, Christian McCaffrey's going to make plays.
Oh, absolutely. I think Kyle Allen right now is the short-term solution for the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, there's no doubt to that. If you disagree with that, then you're just not watching the Carolina Panthers. He's a good quarterback. He's a good, capable backup. He could be a starter in the league if he keeps it up. If he keeps playing a game like this, he's 3-0.
He's 3-0, yeah. But,
and don't come in here. He has a good defense. He has this. He has Christian McCaffrey. Every team has somebody good.
I'm worried about his capability to keep the ball.
That's what I mean.
That's what it is. I'm not worried.
Yeah, that was the issue.
He's not winning games because of the defense and because of he's winning games because he's calling a good game. You know, he's playing as a really good quarterback right now. But in order to start in the league, I think he has to have better ball security for a full-time starter.
I agree with that. But we saw that with DJ Moore. DJ Moore had a lot of fumbling problems in his first year.
Ball security.
And it looks like that he's getting better. Knock on wood. It looks like that he's holding on to the ball. He fumbled the first big catch of the season. We were at that game against the Rams, and we're just like, oh, here we go again. But then ever since then, he hasn't really had a problem. It's just something it's ball security, but you also have to have awareness. A lot of it is coming up from somebody tackling from behind, getting set from behind. Of course you can't, but you have to know when that pocket is closing in. I don't know what that feeling is, but I'm not a quarterback. But that's just something I feel like Kyle Allen has to learn, and that also comes with experience.
He has to know, right.
It's hard to learn that awareness when you don't have people coming after you like that all the time, because you know the defense doesn't hit Kyle Allen in practice.
No.
What's your prediction for this Sunday, 9:30 a.m.? It'll be happening during our show tomorrow morning.
I think that if the Carolina Panthers can get McCaffrey more than 100 yards, they'll win the game. I think that they can win this game anyway because, you know, it was so tight. It was a tight game the last time the Bucs played the Panthers.
Well, that's because the conservative play calling in the second half. Once the Panthers go up 13 points, it's been a common trend. It just seems like they forget how to play football.
I think that it's very possible for the Panthers to win this game. There's no excuse for them to be swept by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this season.
There absolutely is no excuse. I agree with that 100%. I believe the Panthers will win. I think they're riding momentum. I do not think it'll be the same game as it was in week two. You have a different quarterback, different player. Cam Newton is back at practice. He was back at practice earlier this week. The defense is going to be huge. That's what Chris Godwin's going to run all over us. He is. Chris Godwin's going to be great for the Bucs. Shut down Mike Evans. Godwin's going to get his numbers. He's going to get his reps on us. DJ Chark went off against us. I think Chris Godwin's going to do the same thing. But I'm excited. If this happens, 4-0, it'll be good for the Panthers. 4-0 in the last four games.
Hey, they're right back in the division, too. They're now one game behind the New Orleans Saints.
That's what I'm saying. It's the Panthers are right back in it. That's why I didn't fall for the trap saying, are the Panthers' seasons done? What are they going to do? No. Two games, you can't say that. I don't believe it. Let's do rookie mistakes real quick, but as we're running out of time. Connor, I think you said yours earlier.
I had mine earlier. Dave Martinez, what are you thinking? Bringing Clayton Kershaw in, you know, he let up back-to-back home runs, including one from Juan Soto. I said it before, dude's got straight ice in his veins, but what are you doing? You know you need to win this game. This is a very important game. Why are you putting Clayton Kershaw in? I get it, right? He's your guy. He's big man on campus. He's been that way in L.A. for years. But you have to understand at some point, the dude can't cut it in the postseason.
He cannot. Rookie mistake.
Rookie mistake.
My rookie mistake goes to ESPN. They picked, it's an App State related. We didn't talk App State today. They picked Louisiana Lafayette to beat the App State Mountaineers. They had a 60% chance to win. They had a good rushing attack. But the Mountaineers won 17-7, I believe. I watched it Wednesday night. And the thing was, they said that the Louisiana Lafayette, the Raging Cajuns, they're the Oklahoma and App State's Texas, to where they're both good but not quite on each other's level. App State was 6-0 against Louisiana all time in the Sun Belt going into this game. Now they're 7-0. ESPN, don't doubt the Mountaineers. Rookie mistake. That'll do it for us today on the Rookies. Connor and Mackie G. Bernie is out. He'll be back next week. Tune in to 94.7 FM, 1660 AM, weekend mornings. to tune in to the rookies. Also, follow us on Twitter at Fox Sports CLT and check out our app, Fox Sports Radio Charlotte, and check out our articles on foxsportsradiocharlotte.com.
Weekends are Saturdays and Sundays, in case y'all did not know that. Weekends are Saturdays and Sundays.
Thank you for that, Connor. Every weekend mornings. Y'all have a great day.